SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, At the Races weekend preview, and very much focused on the two big 10-furlong affairs at Del Mar and at Saratoga. And Hammer will join us in a minute. I just retweeted the scratches, thanks to Andy. Andy does a great job getting those out for everybody. Earlier than they get posted on Equibase and even at the NYRA website. Andy goes and gets them probably from the mutual department or the racing office even before they get posted. And try to circulate them. Gives you a couple of hints. Right now, still fast and firm. And it is kind of drizzly, but I'm telling you, I'm going to trust in my new dark sky thing that tells you by the minute when these rainstorms and you know, everybody's a meteorologist now. You have the power of I've also got NOAA here. I've got the National Oceanographic radar as well to monitor where the storms are. And it's a big blotchy green thing with some yellow patches. But once it gets through, we're fine until much later. Right now, storms forming over Lake Erie, as it happens. So, we'll see. Going to get some rain overnight. It will probably be yielding or so, and so be it. Hammer's going to be a couple of minutes. That's fine. Let me get another reminder. I just sent out the tweet. excuse me. Two events associated with Dominic Aluccio and the Lustgarten Foundation. There's two different things tomorrow. 11:30 to 12:30 at the Paddock Barn. The Paddock Barn is the long building that is in the big open area, the paddock area, that, you know, where the escalator in the center of the clubhouse. You'll see the tables will be set up and the trainers will all be there. Virtually every trainer will be on hand to honor Dominic Aluccio and raise money for pancreatic cancer research, the Lustgarten Foundation. Visit lustgarten.org. Every penny that comes to Lustgarten goes right to research. They have separate resource for administration. Nothing gets trimmed off for salaries, or it's all for pancreatic cancer research. And, of course, with Aretha Franklin's passing, too, pancreatic cancer in the news, and every year at Saratoga on this Saturday, we've honored the memory of Dominic. 11:30 to 12:30, and then frequently it'll go like another few minutes, but people have to get to the window. It's right in front of the windows in the quad there. So once it's over, there's then a second event that is taking place over at the community outreach booth, and that's on the other side of the jocks room of the administration building, and this faces into the backyard. If you know where the silks are, the jocks quarters too, but the silks room, and there's every day another community organization represented, and Lustgarten will be there the rest of the day. And that majestic Triple Crown trophy that was introduced this year and promptly handed out, you can take pictures with it. And that opportunity, again, a fundraising donation suggestion. So two functions tomorrow at Saratoga to aid the Lustgarten Foundation. Yeah, lustgarten.org. All right. I wanted to take that opportunity. And regarding today's action, virtually, I mean, if things stay okay for turf, this is a very good card. And there's a lot of good favorites, and then there's some very viable prices to play with. Let's hope that we stay on turf. There's a horse in the 7th on the main track, actually, that starts the late pick 4, Sweet By and By, Steve Claseris. And this one comes up from Philly, 10-1. Morning line has been terrific by David Aragona. This is a morning line that's going to get slashed and get bet down. Sweet By and By, 10-1, and be quite happy to get, you know, half that. But I think she's awfully good in here. Shug back, and you know, Shug is just killing it. He's got Dancing All Night, who came up the other day. Dancing All Night, okay in there. Cilantro on the outside for Pletcher. And Rusty Arnold's got McCall down inside. The Palladian Bridge, Ray Handel. Nothing wrong with Palladian Bridge in here either. She's 6-1. So one of the really good allowance races on the card. We talked, what came up earlier, about that 6th race, the State Bred Turf Allowance that Hannah Smile should be tough. And I guess it was Scully, right, that liked Cirque, the Bob Dunham. And I mentioned Silencia, Charlie Baker. There's a couple of options. And, you know, that horse that I kind of gave you a little bit of a cryptic suggestion earlier. And, again, we have to stay on the grass for this. But take a look at the 4th race today. This is a starter allowance, you know, which are always quirky and competitive. And Fast Track Catherine for Michelle Nevin, very much the horse to beat. This is a 1/16 on the inner. However, Hennig is sending Diamond Jen Brady, and she with Julian Leperu, and she's going to have the lead. I'm going to tell you straight out that she will get the lead, and she, by all rights, should be isolated on the lead. And she will like the turf. There's turf in her family. It's not immediately apparent at first glance, but she's got a little. This is a yes, it's true filly out of a Fupeg mare, Gribble's Gamble, and that family has got some, not just some turf, but some steak turf. Not surf and turf. Steak turf. This is a good race, too. And if Fast Track Catherine doesn't win, you're looking at maybe some handsome mutuals. Questic. Tom or John Toscano sends out Questic, who's okay in here. Going to come from off the pace, will be a price. Hop on the Bus, Gus. Rodriguez dub. And Hope's Roar. Hope's Roar probably second, maybe third choice. 7-2, 4-1. And George Abreu, I tried to reach George yesterday. It was his birthday, so sent out birthday greetings for George. He's doing terrific. And, you know, he started out, he had that one horse. Was that last summer or 2 summers ago? He had the one horse that he was training. He was working, of course, as an exercise rider, and had that one starter that won, and that was tremendous. And then has added a few more. Went down to Florida over the winter, and you know, was up to a half a dozen, 8 horses, and now has really got a barn, and he knows what he's doing. And of course, the training Abreu's, Fernando and Ronaldo, and George. A lot of people delighted to see George Abreu having this kind of success. And he's and all kinds, too. He's short, long. He's doing good. So congratulations to George. He's got shots again today. Here's Rick Hammerly as we tap danced as far as we could. Rick, good morning.
Well, Casey gave me a time. I'm out here wandering the backside, and he caught me he caught me no desk, no anything. And so now I'm walking around the back here with my earphone on. People think I'm talking to myself. But it's all good.
Well,
I just was talking to Derek Lawson and Slavion Pratt here, and they think I'm talking to them. And I said, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to somebody across the country. Don't worry about it.
Well, Derek.
But anyway.
Derek's a candidate. He's a candidate, somebody that I'm sure talks to himself.
That's true. Good guy. But he's done a great job with Slavion, and I think they're leading rider here. But I'll tell you what a difference a week makes. We made the run down here last Friday, and it was hot, H-O-T hot, and now it's beautiful. I mean, it's a little overcast. It'll warm up today, but warm up now to like 75 and perfect beach weather, so it's all good. And I tell you, that drive down here, I gotta leave my house at 5 a.m., get in the car, put the helmet on, strap in, and it's like 2 hours of NASCAR because you got to beat that wave. If you leave 10 minutes late, then you get caught in the wave, and it takes you 3 hours. But anyway, we're here, and, obviously the big week. You know, we used to run, when I was working here, we ran this race, I think, at least a week later, a couple times. So it was like the culmination. And here, we still got 2 weeks left after this, so it's not the end. But it's kind of the beginning of the second half, just like it is back there. So it's funny walking around now at this point of the stage, which I'm sure it is there. Everyone's, when can we get back in? When can we get back into Santa Anita? When can we get back into Santa Anita? So they're ready. After a month, everyone's ready to get back home, it seems like.
Well, speaking of which, since you mentioned that, let's get that out of the way. I did see the note about the condition book or the stake schedule anyway, and that include the first time for you to write some turf sprints.
Yeah, how about that? So
short turf sprints.
The five. Now, to be clear, it's not going to be halfway down the hill. It's going to be the traditional start on the backside by the turn there and go 5/8 around. And I got a lot of phone calls yesterday. Hey, it's a misprint. You got 5/8. It's a misprint. So now we're going to try something. So where that came from was the Breeders' Cup. You know, they put that new race in, that $1 million juvenile turf sprint for $1 million, and going 5/8. And so when we were talking about it in our little committee, it's like, wow, there's no way any of our horses will ever get in because Europe has all the graded races and they'll automatically get in. So we said, you know, we need to give our guys, meaning, in America, some chances to run. So they said, you know what, you're right. So they have a win and you're in New York, a win and you're in Kentucky, and then we were offered one, too. But I don't want to run 6.5 down the hill and a mile for two-year-olds. They're basically the same kind of horses. So he said, you know what? I called Dennis Moore, our starter, and said, hey, can you cut a hole in the fence back there and see if we can run 5/8? And I said, don't say anything yet. And he did, and he said, yep, we measured it out. And said, you know what? Let's do it. So we're gonna try it at this little meet here. It's not going to be a staple, meaning, we're going to run a few stakes and see how it goes. And, if it works well, we'll keep it on the menu, but we're not going to, be running 3, 4, 5 a week. I mean, I could see running, 4 or 5 races during the whole 6-week meet and then evaluate and see what we want to do moving on. But, yeah, we're going to, try some new stuff. It gets a little stale doing the same old thing, so we'll give it a shot.
Interesting. All right. Any other major notes on that fall schedule?
No, you're really really kind of handcuffed with what you can do. It's a small meet. We have to run, 8 or 9 Breeders' Cup preps the first 2 weeks, so you really can't monkey with the schedule. Del Mar last year ran the Breeders' Cup, so they ran the extra week, so they ran 3 or 4 or 5 of our races we normally run, so we get those races back, the Golden Cova, the Twilight Derby, stuff like that. The thing of note, or if you want to call it a little note, is what we're famous for, changing names of races. So we decided to change the front runner to the American Pharaoh, and I think that's very well deserved. And you know, just to signify. We've had two Triple Crown winners out here. We need to kind of notify that. So the American, the front runner, cross it off, and it'll be the American Pharoah now. So I think that's a good move.
Agreed. Agreed.
They told Bob yesterday, and I said, yeah, we go, oh, that sounds great, great. So I called him when it was kind of done. I said, you know, we might get a couple calls. I said, yeah, we renamed the front runner. I said, so we got a brand new sign, the American Pharoah Restaurant. He goes, what? The restaurant, the race. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. No, we'll do the race. But anyway, so that's it. We start pretty soon here. The horses get back in there in a couple, 2 weeks, and they'll be here before you know it. But no real changes, you know, just the traditional Breeders' Cup preps and move on from there. But it's finally nice to just get that out, because sometimes we have a little trouble coming to some agreements with our horsemen, and we weren't arguing over that, but a couple other things. But anyway, it's out, and we're kind of officially starting the deal, and that's actually why I'm here now, going visiting a few people at the barns to talk about their stalls. And sometimes it's not good news that I'm bringing them, but I like to see them face to face and kind of go through some of the guys' apps and kind of explain what I'm thinking when I'm handing out the stalls. So this isn't one of those days when they see me coming this time that they're ducking. But anyway, it's all good.
Well, Rick, we had Jay Pribman earlier, and I've got Steve Anderson's going to join us too. Let's get your thoughts on this specific classic.
Well, it's been like a lot of races, and especially a lot of the older races around the country this year. You know, it's not the strongest division we've had. Meaning the whole country, with the loading of the money in the later part of the year and the first part of the year between Breeders' Cup and Pegasus and Dubai, you got $30 million to shoot for. So all of a sudden, some of these races, you know, why run? Let's get ready for the latter part of the year. Which, you know, Baffert's got that idea with the West Coast and Collective taking some time off, and they'll be back to run for the big money. So dirt racing's taken a little bit of a culture change here in this country. So, you know, you run these races just like last week. You know, diversify your nice race, but not really filled out. Here you have Accelerate and Pavel, two grade one winners, and then, you know, some nice horses you hope continue on, like the Lieutenant, and, you know, horses like Dr. Dore, who maybe is not quite up to this level, and Prime Attraction trying it gives them a chance to move up. But it's a good race. It's actually we'll move on. It really gives Accelerate a chance to showcase his talents again, and he can become one of the few horses that's won the Sanity Handicap, the Gold Cup, and the Pacific Classic in the same year. I know Lauterman did it, and I'm trying to think who else did it, but it's only a handful of horses, obviously.
Only two.
Only been run.
Just two.
Only two. Who was the other one?
Game on Dude.
Oh, Game on Dude. That's right. So this is the 20. I heard earlier as I was speeding down the highway, James Scully said this is the 28th running of this race. And anyway, I flash back to the first time that this race ran, and I was working at Monmouth at the time, and it was part of that ACRS, American Championship Racing Series. So this was on the the docket. It was the race, I think, after the Island. Yeah, remember that?
Sure.
And I think it was the race after the Island, so I volunteered. I said, yeah, I'll go to Delmar and be part of that. So I remember being here, and I remember the three-year-old Best Pal got the money for John Mabey. And it made such a splash. And, I mean, sometimes it takes a couple years to put a race on the calendar, and it's just for some reason when that horse won, you know, the local guy, boom, the three-year-old, the whole thing, the race became an instant success. So they've now just a spot on the calendar here that, you know, the best horses out here have pointed for years. And so anyway, good event. Like I said, I think he's probably, if I had to pick one, he's probably the top-rated older horse right now. And I think if he puts in a powerful performance again at the mile and a quarter distance, I think he'll just say, here I am, and, you know, come and beat me. He's the horse to beat for sure. Pavel sneaks in there. You know, we've always liked him. Best thing that happened to him, he left town. And he went and, you know, won the Stephen Foster. You know, another race like this, it wasn't really loaded, but he finally got to do his thing, which we don't see that often. And, you know, sometimes you wait and wait and wait, and sometimes horses, I don't know, they seem to make their own trouble. This horse is 3 for 10. He's grade one going 1.25. Obviously, well thought of from the beginning with his second start in the Jim Dandy. I mean, I'd like to see him move up the ladder. Just got word he hasn't missed a beat since he got back from Kentucky. He's trained right along, so, you know, hopefully sitting on a big one. And I hate to be a chalk fest, but accelerates his horse to lose. He got the goofball mystery horse in Baffertsburn. I was actually headed over there, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him about this horse. But kind of rare. It's like, what's going on now? I mean, you got horses from the, you know, from Judmont, from here. Now we're gonna start sending horses up from South America. My gosh! But look at this horse. The key to some of these horses is you look at the money. A lot of them went, you know, 10 out of 12, and they won 86,000. I mean, this horse has won $500,000 in 5 races. So obviously, he's running against the best down there. You know, the question mark obviously is how good is that? But he's 5 to 1 in the program. I mean, I got to think he's a bet against, but stranger things have happened. What can I tell you? But anyway, it's a good card all the way through and through, I think. From top, they got a couple more stakes, like the Del Mar Handicap and the Del Mar Oaks as well, and they're both full fields on the turf.
You got anything to offer there? Because they're both deep and compelling.
They are deep, and, you know, our turf racing is turning into our filly racing, meaning we've got a lot of full field, not too many stand-ups. I mean, it's in the post is really shown he's the best long-distance horse that we have out here. And if you're an in-the-post follower, like I think we have been on the show, you're kind of happy that he lost last time. I mean, so they can't win every time. So I think he's going to bounce back. I think the distance was not to his liking. A mile and eighth, stretching out a little bit further. It's really going to help him. He's going to be favored, but it might be a decent price here as you know, definitely the horse to beat. I like a horse that I think is sneaky good, the horse on the outside Fashion Business. Kind of followed him into Manhattan, and he ran a sneaky, sneaky good race.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I think he's going to, you look who rides, Pratt gets back on, and I think we might get a decent price on there, and I think we can get to see a little run late. The trouble is it's a lot. There's not a ton of pace in here, but it seems to be that way with a lot of races. The horse on the fence, Kenji Storm, another Phil D'Amato horse, I got to think he is going to try and take him all the way. I don't know if he's good enough to do that, but you know how it is. And they get loose on the lead there. I mean, ran a great race in the Whittingham going here, so, you know, be a little scared of him just kind of getting forgotten out there on the front end and going all the way. But, you know, got to use in the post and the trifecta for sure, but I'm gonna look at that outside horse a little bit.
You're not alone with an interest out there, and there's also the other exiting that's coming out of who am I thinking of? I discussed it last night. That also participated. Is it Multiplier?
Multiplier. Yeah, you know, that was a weird run race, and you know, there, and I was following the horse I bet on, of course, Sadler's Joy, who I did get a little run there about the eighth pole, or a little rush there about the eighth pole, but it seemed like the whole field was kind of rushed, closing in there. So,
yes.
You know, maybe these lines are a little bit deceptive. Maybe, you know, it's not that good. When you run ninth, get beat less than 2 lengths, you know, something's going on. But I think Fashion Business showed a little bit more than Multiplier, but Multiplier's all right. I mean, he's fine. I'm just worried maybe about the distance a little bit with Multiplier. It's only his third time on the turf, which doesn't bother me as much as the distance situation. But Ashley Love Sugar's in there. I think he's lost a little bit, lost a step or two in the last year. And then Ritzy AP, very interesting. Dan Blacker, not known for running horses back quick, but looked good last week, winning a little overnight stake up at the fair circuit. But I don't know how that equates to this, to tell you the truth.
I should also mention, because Christina Oliveris, she talked to Barry Irwin and Neil Drysdale. She made a case for Cashman, this 5-year-old that makes a first North American visit, and apparently the performance at Dresden will impress, and this does have that sort of Barry Irwin, you know, look of, you know,
yeah,
of a horse that
places his horse as well.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, these races, along with the filly races, they're nice, but there's no superstar. So a horse like, you know, of course, like Cashman shows up and wins and pays $18. It's not like, oh my gosh, what happened? But I don't know. I don't know if he's this good. But as they say, now's the time to get him. First time out of the box here.
Exactly.
You know, Franco gets on, and you know, he's in the right hands with Neil, and he hasn't had a, you know, he's been over here. So boom, boom. It's not like we're waiting 6 months to see him run. He's run fairly recently. So I don't know. He's won 4 races. I don't know if he's this good.
No. Anything else, Hammer? What else you got?
Just the Oaks. The Oaks came up again. It was the Grade One. Another, you know, it's another, you know, light on top end horses, and you've seen a lot of those races around the country. Every time I see these going on, I think, oh, you think of this meeting we're going to have in December about, you know, how we're going to handle some of this stuff. But hey, we got 12 horses in here. You know, once again, Graham, is it true Graham hasn't won a race out there?
It's correct. We talked to him the other day. I didn't bug him about it.
No, we don't bug him about it. But I was thinking, as I, you know, we got Rosario on, Kalina, can he do a transfer if he happened to win this thing? Because
does it count? Does, you know, it count as a Saratoga win? No, it doesn't.
Yeah, you know. Okay, all right. Let me stretch a little bit. But once again, you know, a lot of our local horses here, some nice, you know, nice runners, paved. Back at the mile and eighth, he won the honeymoon. She won the honeymoon going a mile and eighth. You know, had a rough trip, I guess you'd say, in the Belmont Oaks. Gave it a shot, didn't embarrass herself, got beat 3 lengths, and you know, she's going to be tough in here, without a doubt. But Drayden Van Dyke's just been running lights out, so she's going to be tough. Miss Bad Behavior, I'm standing here next to Baltus right now, Mr. Richard Baltus. She might be at a speed. She's going to probably go to the front, right, Richard? I can't give him the phone because I got the earpiece. But she's probably going to go to the front. There's not a whole lot of speed here. Ollie's Candy, very talented filly. I, you know, anytime you see these horses, which you rarely do, either get a chance to run on multiple surfaces anymore. But she competes up at Golden Gate Field, aired in a couple races on there in the synthetic, came to Santa Anita, won a Grade 2 Oaks on the dirt, came here and competed in the turf last time in the San Clemente to prep for this race, and almost got up. And you know what? This filly is a nice filly. And War Heroine, if you remember the race, War Heroine went wire to wire, just couldn't quite get there. There was no, got off on an easy lead and gone. And Ollie's Candy ran much better than even looked. And I'll tell you what, if the price is anywhere near 9-2, I think you got to really take a look on that one. Mr. Gregory here, your colleague, is coming up to say hi. Then he says hi.
Hey.
So I really like Ollie's Candy there pretty good. And, you know, the Leonard Powell horse, I want to like her. I know she had a little trouble last time. She only got beat 3 lengths as well in the Belmont Oaks. She won a clunker the race before that. And then go 3 back and runs great in the same distance in the Providencia. These are the same type of horses here. So you're going to get a price on her. I guess when she's good, she's real good, but not terribly consistent. So, I mean, Ollie's Candy, I was going to get on that bandwagon and think that she's going to like the mile and eighth, and really facing no better than she's faced in the last two. So Bill Moy's got her headed in the right direction.
Well, we're headed in the direction of a big weekend, Rick, and looking forward to it. And as I mentioned with Jay Privman, things kind of tie in great. We wrap up at Saratoga today and late action both days at Del Mar. So players can sign on for full stem to stern action.
Full on action.
Absolutely.
You're going to see that for the next 3 weeks. I like your Aretha Franklin playing. I got to tell you, so she's one of the ones that, you know, I didn't know how much I liked her type of thing. I never really bought one of her albums. But she was always around, and you know, I think take for granted. I played yesterday in the office. I had the loop. I had like 25 songs of hers. I think I knew every song, and people kept coming in and out. And lots of times when I just forget to change it. I mean, I heard the same song 4 or 5 times. Nobody said a word. because you just want to hear that voice over and over and over. But it's a true superstar. One of those, in the old days when you hear a song on the radio, you didn't like, you hit the button. You never hit the button on her. That's the way I can describe her. But like I said, I never really knew how much I liked her until I started listening to her. Anyway, she gave us a lot of, the voice is all you can say. Nobody has a voice like her. But keep up. You got a few more minutes to play a few more songs, so we'll be listening.
We got two more probably coming. And, Rick, I appreciate it. We will talk next week, get some Travers thoughts from you.
Absolutely. We'll be ready for that. Thanks, Steve. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Rick Hammerly, folks, away they go. And away we go toward the final half hour. We got about 25 minutes, and we've got to slip in a fast visit with Steve Anderson and some handicapping thoughts from Nick Tamaro as well before we wrap up on this weekend preview at the races. Rain seems to have stopped, so it literally was just that, just a little bit of a sprinkling. So hopefully we're okay. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Insecure, insecure. Then you came with
you go. Rose is still a rose. One of Casey's favorites by Aretha. And we've been paying tribute. And just coming into this visit with Steve Anderson, you heard John Parada and talking about the Dublin Racing Club. We're having a lot of fun. And certainly somebody who can speak to going to all the racetracks in Ireland, Steve Anderson, who is a world traveler and loves the international scene, and he and Marcus Hirsch cover it for the Daily Racing Forum, as well as Steve's other duties, which includes the Thoroughbred Circuit, and just because he's not busy enough, the quarter horses at Los Al as well. Steve, good morning.
And good morning to you. Yes, there is a $221,000 derby at 1:44 a.m. Monday morning at Los Alamitos, also 10:45 p.m. Pacific.
I love it. I love it. It's funny because whenever I visit with you, I'll click on your name. I'll see what you've been writing about. And there it is. Alpha Centauri, Los Al Quarter Horses, Ed Burghardt signing a contract for next year. And then everything going on the backstretch at the at Del Mar and at San Luis Rey.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, by the way, just a final thought on that quarter horse race. Wally Joyner, the baseball player, his wife, Leslie, owns the fastest qualifier. A gelding that's won 4 out of 6. So kind of fun to see whether he can make the jump from a moderate stakes into the high-class stakes.
Nice. Very nice. Wally Joyner, I love it. We love when the professional athletes are hobnobbing in our arena, and we get plenty of it. And Steve, meanwhile, let's dive in and touch. I've had Hammer and Jay Privman, and there's just a lot of interesting things happening in this Pacific Classic. I came up very intrigued by the lineup.
It's an important race for Accelerate because he's getting closer along with Diversify, you know, into the discussion for the Older Male of the Year award. And a win here really helps to solidify his status, you know, amongst the first two in the country, maybe even the first. And as we get, you know, 11 weeks tomorrow away from the Breeders' Cup, you know, that's an important thing for him to do, is to continue to show the form that he showed at Santa Anita. You know, Angelo had been beaten once this year, and that was by City of Light in the Oakland Handicap when he was giving away several pounds, you know, to the point where at a mile and an eighth, it probably made a difference to some extent. And, you know, those handicap days are over for the rest of the year. It's waiting for Age On In. So a big, important race for Accelerate is a favorite, but one in which he can record a win and add to his already impressive resume for 2018.
It feels like, I brought this up with Jay and with Rick, there's real pace in this race at a mile and a quarter. Horses that will draft up front, and we know Jim Cassidy wants to get prime attraction out in front.
Yeah, and that's going to be a factor that should help Accelerate, who can be rather handy as well. So in that sense, you know, things should go his way. You see a horse like Dr. Dore has also shown some speed. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, you know, that adds to it. And Accelerate is usually very handy for his rider. He's being ridden for the first time by Joel Rosario, placing an injured Victor Espinosa. So in that sense, Rosario should have a very favorable trip.
If there's an upsetter looming, who needs to be seriously considered?
No, I don't think there is.
Wow.
I think it's very, very much Accelerate's race to lose. Pavel finally ran the race that was expected of him when he won the Stephen Foster Handicap on June 16th. He'd been flirting with wins. He'd been ambitiously placed a few times. I'm not certain the Dubai World Cup journey was the right idea, but in the end, he wound up finishing fourth. Soundly beaten in the San Anita Gold Cup on May 26th, 9 lengths behind Accelerate and Dr. Dore, and you know, dreadful trip in the Santa Squall at San Anita on February 3rd. We probably should have won that race. But if you look through the rest of them, they all have flaws. You know, Beachview is a grade 3 horse. 235 was fourth in a grade 2. There's a horse out of South America called Roman Rosso. That's a very, very steep ask to have a horse, even if it does have Group 1 form in South America, to come here and win. I think the Lieutenant's going to win some more races, but I don't think it'll be Saturday.
Very good. Well, then let's. You're always good for some price plays, so let's look to the turf races and talk about the Oaks and the handicap.
You look at the Oaks, and it's going to be a very, very hectic race. should be a very good race. A lot of runners and a lot of chances for horses to win. Ollie's Candy was very good second in San Clemente a mile, and wants more ground than that. A mile needs to work very well for her. She'll probably be one of the choices as well. So that's a filly to look at. I am going to think that Patel Barry, who was sixth in the Belmont Oaks, is better than that. And I think she should do well from off the pace. She's won two stakes in California, the Surfer Girl last in October in an American debut, and a nice win in the Providencia to start the season for her season back in April. So Patel Barry, I think I'd nominate her as the horse to beat. A lot of people like Colonia, French filly that had her U.S. debut in the Hatou Stakes at Arlington Park for Graham Motion and finished. Then was the winner, coming from the last of 10 to win by a length and three quarters. And that was a good performance. Her French form was okay. Didn't really do a whole lot. One win and five starts before she really looked like she'd moved forward with her win in the Arlington Park race. She's got to do a little better than that to win in here, I think. The handicap, mile and 3/8 on turf, exposes the Southern California Turf Marathon Division for the weakness that it is. The days are gone past us, in which, the leading stables on the circuit had grade one horses that could compete on a national level. Take, for example, It's in the Post, a very, very good horse, 7 grade two wins in the last 17 months. He was only 7th in the Breeders' Cup turf last year. He was beaten 5 lengths. And then that was, the best of the runners in California. He was beaten by, a very good horse in Talismanic and then Beach Patrol and Highland Reel. So the company line is there, but he wasn't a factor. He's back in this race. Ashley Love Sugar won this race 2 years ago, but he's winless in 5 starts dating back to Memorial Day weekend 2017. So that's discouraging in itself. Look out for Fashion Business. Fashion Business was 5th beaten a length in the Manhattan on Belmont Stakes Day and came back to finish 8th in the Eddie Reed Stakes. At the surface, that doesn't look very nice. He was, beaten 5 lengths by Catapult, who runs on Sunday here in Belmar. But in the Eddie Reed Stakes, Fashion Business was drawn wide on the outside and was last until the 8th pole when he made some ground in a very crowded field. A lot of horses were bunched together in the last furlong of the Eddie Reed Stakes, Fashion Business among them. And some horses got better runs through that last portion of the race than others did. Mile 3/8 should work. Flavian Pratt rides. He was aboard him in the Manhattan and also for a couple of races back in 2017. I think Fashion Business will be a factor. The winner goes to the Breeders' Cup turf, whether they deserve it or not.
Steve, let's hit a couple of the kind of a lightning round, and you hit a bunch of things the last couple of days. I told everybody mandatory pick six payout tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a minor carryover of 8,000 in the single ticket jackpot pool today. Let's assume it doesn't get hit today. It goes to 25 or 30 grand going into Saturday. You're probably looking at a pick six pool of about $500,000, simply because there'll be so much attention devoted to the day that there'll be a little bit of interest. Obviously, the track was trying to replicate Gulfstream Park, where you have some boxcar carryover into a huge day that people will look upon, and that they would have a massive pool. But there have been 6 instances in the first 22 days of racing of the 36-day season here in which there's been one ticket. So every time there's the single-ticket jackpot pool, love it or hate it, as many people do definitely have an opinion, love it or hate it, that never really has generated that carryover that that track management had hoped to see. So there is a mandatory payout in the pick six. The 3 stakes are in the pick six, the last 6 races on Saturday at Del Mar. So in that sense, there's the right kind of races to focus on.
Let's pick up a couple of notes from you regarding racing the past week. And I sense, like me, you're a Vexatious fan, and you were happy to see her get that elusive second win, and feels like that was a confidence-building spot picked out by Drysdale, who's really had a wonderful year, meaning Uncle Neil. Vexatious, more upside yet, I think.
It's interesting. If you followed racing for the last 15 years, you're very well aware of her family. Dream of Summer was a 6-time stakes winner and a millionaire in the early 2000s. Creative Cause is her half-brother. He was 3rd in the Preakness Stakes about 6 years ago. And Destin, another relation of that one, was the winner of the Marathon Stakes at Del Mar Breeders' Cup weekend last November. So the family is nothing but routing, pet distance runners. So in that regard, this filly looks like she might have the credentials to go into a Grade 1 Rodeo Drive at Santa Anita at the end of September and maybe even go to the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. was talking with him yesterday morning about how do you move into the autumn with this filly, and he's trying to find the right prep race that will get her qualified for the filly and mare turf. I don't think the filly and mare turf will have 14 runners. I think it'll be a large field, but not necessarily an oversubscribed field. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But he's looking, do I go to the Flower Bowl at Belmont? What if it rains? Mm. Do I go to the E.P. Taylor in Canada? Same situation. It's a week later. It's October 14th. What about Santa Anita, the firm turf course, on the last Saturday of September? Probably a warm day as well. But he did the exact same thing last year with Responsible for Love, who won the CTTOC Stakes. And she had a dreadful trip in the Rodeo Drive and didn't qualify for the Breeders' Cup, so to speak. And so he's trying to balance the needs of the filly with the stakes calendar in front of him. And it's undetermined. But I think the Rodeo Drive will wind up being selected if I had to make a projection.
How good was Instagram in your view?
I don't like to hype horses, but this dude is really, really exciting to follow. I mean, he's not trying. And I think we're looking at something that we'll be talking about in March and April. That's as much as I'll say right now. A lot of life to live before we even get to that point. And, there's no reason to think that he isn't going to be in the front rank of everyone's selections for the next 6, 8, 10 months.
I thought it was a frightening performance, given that he only started really dropping down and running, barely approaching the wire. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah. I think the two-year-old fillies in California are still a wee bit in front of the males in terms of depth, but Instagram is really, really an exciting prospect in any capacity. I mean, now I guess if we're going to have Triple Crown winners every couple of years, you might even think it could be that good. But I probably shouldn't have just said that, but it's out there now. So,
it's recorded for history.
But,
I love
it. In all seriousness, you can see him winning a lot of important races coming up, and the Delmar Fraternity is the next one, and that's something that is going to be certainly going to be a very short price favorite on September 3rd.
Well, Steve Anderson, big weekend, and then the grade ones that close out the season. Looking forward to checking in probably one more time before you break camp and head back north.
And the two-year-old filly division, I think, on September 1st, the Del Mar Debutante is going to be a very, very exciting race. It looks to me like there'll be a lot of leading runners that have done maiden races and such here in California in the last 60 days should come together for what could be a real preview for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Felix, too.
Very much. And, of course, two of the next three Breeders' Cups, speaking of Breeders' Cup, will come back to California. Back to Santa Anita next year, and then Keeneland, and then Del Mar earned itself another visit. So two more home games for you and Jay and the team.
Steve, thanks for everything.
Steve Anderson, thank you. DRF, Steve Anderson, folks. We'll stay right here, and we'll sprint to the wire. Nick Tamaro joins us, and Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. Nick, I haven't had a chance to tell you just how wonderful watching, I guess we, did we touch on it? Was it last? Yeah, we did. We talked last Friday about the World Horse Players Tour show, but I watched it again from start to finish. I hadn't seen all 40 minutes, so I watched it online before Pete was with us Wednesday, and really fun.
No, it was a great time. I mean, touched on last week. I just wish we had picked more winners.
That's all right. You did fine. You did fine.
I picked a lot of winners on Saturday. You know, it was like we left out the day where all of us sort of knew what we were doing. The Sunday card didn't treat us so well.
That is funny, actually, because it that was part of the conversation. So speaking of the conversation, let me give everybody the immediate update. First, fourth, and sixth are off the turf. They're going to run the eighth and ninth only on the grass. Probably a smart move, even though we didn't get a lot of rain, but make your adjustments now. First, fourth, and sixth off the turf today. The eighth and the ninth, the stake, the Skidmore, and the boys' mile allowance, state breds, stay on. And that does keep the pick four, the late pick four, and the Naira Betts pick five keeps it largely, well, the sixth is off, but there's a lot. There's at least two MTOs that had not scratched out yet, Tough Old Bird and the other half of the McLaughlin Albertrani entry. So I'll adjust as quickly as I can. Nick, let's get some opinions for Saturday.
Yeah, it's depending, I guess, on the weather. Hopefully, it won't be too much of a problem. I'd like to see the Alabama run on a dry track. I have to say that if I could find a way to get a prop bet on this race, I would actually see if somebody would offer me what kind of price they would offer me on She's a Julie finishing better of the two Asmussen entries. And I say that in large part because I don't care for Midnight Bizou in this race. I actually don't think Midnight Bizou is going to go off the favorite. I think Top Move to me is going to go off the favorite. I understand that Midnight Bizou has a big reputation, but the stretch of races that Talk Move to Me has run coming into this are very, very strong. That was a huge and compelling win in the Indiana Oaks last time. And even though this race might be a little heavy on pace types, I don't think that's going to be a big problem for her. I think the extra distance will not pose an issue either. So I'm fully expecting her to win, and I'm going to single her on all of my late multi-race plays because it does feel like the time that's a bit of a coming out party. Now, one fly in the ointment there. If there's weather and the track comes up sloppy, I'm going to use Eskimo Kisses because Eskimo Kisses' biggest race by far was on a wet surface, and she should get some pace to run at. So that's the one fly in the ointment in terms of what kind of things you could have happen weather-wise. The Lake Placid is a really terrific race, and I think we've kind of been waiting. There was probably it's like when two boxers finally meet up with each other when they both maybe just suffered a recent loss. I think we were all wondering what would happen when Rushing Fall and Significant Form ran against each other, and we've now seen Significant Form show a little bit of vulnerability with a couple of losses in a row. I encourage anybody to go back and watch the Belmont Oaks, though, and tell me if you really think Significant Form ran poorly. I understand she's had a very good trip on the inside right off the pace the entire way. That was an extremely strong pace. And horses like Toinette and La Signore are both really high-quality fillies, and they finished last and next to last. So if you think that Significant Form underperformed, I think you need to look at the overall race itself and the context of it, and I don't think you'll have that same conclusion. So I think it's safe to say Significant Form is going to run as well as she always has. I think that she'll be in a good position pace-wise because she does have some speed. I'm fully expecting that Go Noni Go will be sent to the lead. I think that's really her only way of doing it. But I'm going to bet Significant Form. I'm going to use Daddy as a Legend. I'm going to use a little bit of Capital Temptress as well because she did get steady turning for home. She was inside on the good part of the turf, but you know, I think that there's an opportunity for her to improve a little bit. I actually think this race is pretty contentious, and anybody who wants to just concede it to Rushing Fall, I think might be underrating the wide open nature of it as a whole.
I completely agree, and you didn't even get to The Way I Am or Adina Del Sur.
Well, and that's the thing. In the way I Am ran a terrific race last time. There's no denying it. She was actually not that much farther off the pace than Significant Form was. Now, she did stay inside, and I do want to acknowledge at least that the rails had come down on that turf course shortly before Stars and Stripes, and so that the inside part of the turf was a little bit fresher and a little bit quicker. But The Way I Am really acquitted herself well at a distance that I thought would be a little far. So I think the mile and an eighth might be right in her wheelhouse, and I'd be willing to give her a try as well.
Any other spots?
You know, there's a couple of good two-year-old races, and I think that certainly we'll obviously have to navigate those for multi-race plays. I did think the seventh was okay if it ends up on the turf. We've seen Jason Service's barn heat up a little bit lately, so I think we can expect Hollywood Cat to run well. However, Way Smart made a premature move last time before getting caught late. Does look like she might be able to just outfoot the late runners, so those would be the most dangerous ones. Lovely Lala should end up going off the favorite for Chad Brown. Haven't done necessarily all the pedigree work on the sixth. I will say Wild Medallia d'Oro ran an excellent race to be second on debut on a track that really didn't favor outside closers at all. I know he's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 7-5 in order to get the job done. But I think, you know, you may end up, a weary horse player may end up finding a good spot there to go a little bit narrow on the win end. And earlier on, I thought the fourth was an interesting race. Again, we're going to see a Todd Pletcher horse go off, probably a relatively short price in principled. And this is a horse who's out of Team Pauline, who is a fleet-footed two-year-old herself. I just wonder if you're supposed to wait and see if these horses are getting out of the gate before you take the plunge. So I was a little concerned there about that one. I do think that Ahead of Plan is supposedly training very well. This is an awfully big price for a big drama. A $5,000 Florida Stallion that they paid $475 for, a little bit of an old-school Clarovich purchase as he worked pretty quickly at the auction. So I would imagine he'll have some early speed, and it'll end up being a little Todd and Chad showdown. Not like we haven't seen that a few times at the meet.
Well, Nick, I appreciate it. Glad to catch up for a few, and next week?
Perfect. Sounds good. I will be live next week.
Exactly.
Horses next Friday for me.
Nice. Nick Tamaro, folks, NTAMM, N-T-A-M-M, 1215, a furious 3 hours. I mean, this just flew by, and I want to thank Nick and Steve Anderson, Rick Hammerly, Jay Pribman, Ed DeRosa, James Scully, Dave Grenig. We're going to send you out with one more cut from Aretha Franklin, and you know I love covers, and this is not just a gratuitous cover. Amazingly, what you're going to hear was her biggest hit in the UK. And the racing tie-in, of course, being Burt Bacharach and Hal David, his writing partner, say a little prayer. And we'll all say a little prayer, not just for Aretha Franklin and for her memory and her contribution, not just to music, but to American society. And also, given the pancreatic cancer tie, Dominic Coluzio, who we remember tomorrow, the trainer autograph session. Try to make it by. All the trainers will be there. You'll meet everybody you've ever wanted to. Good luck this weekend. I'll talk to you Monday.
My hair now, and wondering what dress to wear.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.